Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, Being an Identifiable, Authentic People of God. The text is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7.
I'd like to just express my gratitude once again publicly for the faithfulness, the servant's heart, of the faculty and staff here. I've been overseas with missionaries for a number of days now, and I've been, since returning home on Thursday night, in several places in Maryland and Illinois the last couple of days, and run into graduates everywhere who have gone out of their way to express appreciation for the faculty and staff. Bel Air, Maryland, Sunday night, three graduates from last year, husband and wife and a single guy, all came to me, and they came some distance to be in the service, went out of their way to express appreciation for the business faculty here. They were business majors, close to those faculty members. Many on the mission field who are graduates have said the same thing. They labor in hard places, and they said, we got what we needed to hold us true to the Lord, to give us the tools to get the job done. A father called me a few weeks ago whose daughter enrolled as a first-year student at Naval Academy in Annapolis. He said, you know, I found some things there that I thought you'd like to hear about. I was told, he said, as a parent of a freshman, that 80% of the freshman class graduate from the Naval Academy. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? There's probably, with the exception of BJU and West Point, very few places in America that demand more of their students than the Naval Academy. 80% of the students stick it out and graduate. That's phenomenal. That speaks well for the character of those students, speaks well for their commitment to the task. It speaks a lot better for them than it does of some weak-willed, weak-spined, zero with the ring rubbed out Christians who can't take it in a Christian university because it's just too hard. They're trying to produce some military people who in a day of battle can remain and not flee and can stay at their post of duty and get the job done for their country. We're trying to train some soldiers for Jesus Christ in the warfare between heaven and hell, righteousness and unrighteousness, and light and dark, to remain faithful to Christ, not to defect in the hour of testing, but to be true to your commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus, to have some character and some understanding of the nature of the battle you fight in. And so you'll be a casualty if need be, but won't be a coward and a quitter. There's probably nothing lower on the earth next to a skunk than a coward and a quitter. I hope you are never one of those. They also, he said, you probably know this already, as you come along in your 4 years of study, your privileges increase from your entering year until your senior year, according to your classification. He said, I heard the superintendent stand up that first day and tell everybody, we have zero tolerance around here for drugs, alcohol, sex in the dorms. And he went on and listed all the things that they have zero tolerance for. One of the things we have zero tolerance for here is cheating and lying. And he also said there that they have zero tolerance for lying. You tell the truth if you want to stay here or you're out if you lie. They keep the grounds immaculate. They make high demands on the students. You know, those guys and girls have to, when they make their beds in the morning, they have to take the sheets and put them in a certain way in the corner. And they get inspected every morning in their rooms. And, right down to how well you did the corner of your bed. We don't go quite that far. We do have room inspections. But he said, bottom line, he said, the superintendent stood up and said, folks, we have no apologies for what we are. We are what we are. And if this is not for you, then you need to go somewhere else. We know what we're doing here. We do what we do with a purpose. and we're preparing people for the future demands that will be upon them. Well, they're in the secular arena, and I salute them for the high demands they make upon the future officers of the Navy. Bob Jones University is doing what it does by design because we care an awful lot about you. We care an awful lot about the cause of Christ and your future for the cause of Christ, your place in His service. I hope you're doing well. I hope you have more determination now than the day you entered, that by God's grace, you're not going to be a quitter. You'll go all the way through, get the job finished upon graduation, get out and serve God with all your heart. By the way, I'd like to say, I think the first time this year that I've said it, though I will be saying it repeatedly, you who are graduating in December and in May, if you don't have clear direction from the Lord about your next step, that is, if you're not going to grad school, if you do not have a specific place of divine appointment for you upon graduation, if you're just kind of open-ended and say, well, now I've got my degree, I'll have to stay out a while and see what I'm going to do, I urge you with all my heart, take those first 3 years out of college. Give them to the Lord. Go to a pioneering small church somewhere that desperately needs some trained lay leadership. Somebody to be a prayer partner with the pastor and his wife. Somebody to be a visitation partner. Someone who can do a little music. Someone who can provide qualified deacon's qualifications. Somebody who can be a lay helper to the pastor who goes there just because of that opportunity, not because of a job. Who seeks a job later. Who goes out of college and says, it's not going to be the job that directs me to my next step in life, but an opportunity to help out in a work that desperately needs some trained Christian leadership to assist the pastor in getting that church planted and that job accomplished, that testimony raised in that town. I first became really burdened for this when I was on an airplane. I made a connection through Salt Lake City for Atlanta some years ago. Half the plane was filled with Mormon missionaries, young people just out of school, going somewhere around the world to spread the cult of Mormonism, the heresy of Mormonism, but to go for 2 years as missionaries right out of school. And I said, you know, my lens, if they can do that to spread a cult message, we who have the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, why can't our students do that? What is the matter with Christian young people who right out of school don't want to go and just roll their sleeves up and get to work for the Lord? So I challenge you. If you don't really know that the Lord has clearly ordained your next step upon graduation, make yourself available to go identify yourself with a work somewhere and go help them. To whom much is given, much is required. God has given you much here. And He wants you to put it to use for Him. Dr. McAllister has a list, a huge list of churches that have said, could you find somebody like this for us? And if you don't know of somebody, then he can help you get some names and you can write to them and get that underway. I talked to a man Sunday morning who came here just for 1 year. He had an undergraduate degree from somewhere else, but he wanted a year of Bible training. And he got hold of that idea, and after he left here, he went and did that. And he said, hey, I'm glad I did it. I said, well, I'll tell the students on Tuesday that you did it. I have letters all the time. I meet students like you all over the place, wherever I go, who said, I took you up on that challenge, Dr. Bob, and I wouldn't have done it anything otherwise. He said, they say it's the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, and most of them are staying right where they went, right out of college, to help some church that needed their help. Well, would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. God is speaking here of His people's restoration from Babylonian captivity. He's speaking of their regathering, of their release from bondage. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee and called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I have given men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I want to preach to you briefly this morning about being an identifiable, authentic people of God. Being an identifiable, authentic people of God. When you see people at airports, in town, wherever you may go, you may not consciously say it, but you'll see somebody walking by and you say, there goes a Marine. Or there goes a professional. And sometimes with a heavy heart, you look and say, there goes a prostitute. There goes a nurse. There goes a bellhop. There goes a stewardess. They're identifiable for what they are and for what they do. As you know, because you know enough of the Old Testament to realize that God chose Israel by His own divine appointment to represent Him in the earth. They didn't do a very faithful job of it. They were often complaining. They were often idolatrous, pagan. But they were His chosen people. He hasn't given up on them yet. There are still prophecies in the Bible to be fulfilled for God's chosen people, Israel. And they will be fulfilled, even as His past prophecies have been fulfilled in their behalf. God chose the Jew to represent Him before the heathen, unbelieving world. He refused, and so Israel went into captivity. God's Son came into this world to redeem the Jew. The Bible says in John chapter 1, He came unto His own. But His own received Him not. But to them that received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We, the Gentile, have been grafted in, according to Paul's letter to the Romans. Because the branch that was there was broken off so that we might be grafted in. The Jew refused. One day they will believe. But today they are an unbelieving people that God has chosen. We Gentiles are saved along with the Jews who are saved, that we might be part of the church of Christ, that we might be part of His body. We Gentiles now, in this dispensation, along with the converted Jews, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are His representatives. We are to be an identifiable, authentic people of God. So that people in this world, the heathen, the unbelieving world, can know who our God is. Now that puts a whole new dimension upon your life and mine. Does it not? It puts a whole new importance, if you will, upon your role here right now. Your reason for being in BJU. You're getting prepared, in a better way, to be an authentic, an identifiable, redeemed man or woman of God. Your role in this world is not to have a nice, comfortable living, not to pursue that which is of great special interest to you. You're not here, in other words, for yourself. You're here as an object lesson. You're here as a visible representation of the God of heaven. How well do you fill that role? How interested are you in filling that role? How conscientious are you in filling that role? How much does it matter to you when you go into town or home on cuts or home for the vacation at Christmas or wherever you go in this world to work here in town today? When you go to work in town today, how conscientious are you and how aware are you? When I go there, I am a living, visible representation of the God of heaven, Jesus Christ. How aware are you of that on campus, in your room, in your relationship to your roommates, in your relationship to your campus job, in relationship to your fellow students? I am a redeemed representation, authentic, visible representation of my Redeemer. Look, if we're to understand a little more about this, let's look at this passage very briefly. I wish I had a lot of time for this. It's so rich. There's so much here. But if God created Israel for His glory and to represent Him, if God has ordained the redeemed church, we're not Israel, but we're the redeemed church, and there are some Jews who have been saved along with the Gentiles who are saved that are part of the church of Jesus Christ. What is it that He wants of us to be His representative? What is He asking of us if we're to be His representative? Well, look again at verse 1. He said to Israel, "Fear not, I've redeemed thee, and I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Verse 7, "I have created him for my glory." Verse 21, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." I don't have time to read it, but in Ephesians chapter 1, the first 12 verses tell us the same thing. In this dispensation of grace, we are a people for the praise of His glory. It's very clearly presented there in Ephesians chapter 1, the first 12 verses. In Ephesians chapter 2, first 10 verses, it's all there very clear. The same words almost are used, speaking of those of us who are God's redeemed people. We're created for the glory of God. How well are you and I fulfilling the purpose for which He saved us, created for His glory? This passage says that we're preserved by His care. I'll not read again verses 2 through 5, but you read them there with me a while ago. Words about His protection for His people, as He allows us to accomplish the purposes of His glory. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day of increasing persecution and hatred exhibited visibly against the people of God in the earth. The crunch is on. Talked a lot about that this year. But I have a great burden that you should be prepared, so that when the persecution and the rejection, and when the laws are formed that may mean the closing of your church's doors, may mean the closing of this institution's doors, it doesn't catch you by surprise. I was preaching weekend before last in Northern Ireland for Dr. Paisley on Saturday and Sunday. He had just come back from the Parliament of Europe. He is a representative in the European Parliament at Strasbourg, and then they have their offices in Brussels. He was telling his people, he said, "By the way, last week at the Parliament in Strasbourg, on Monday, that was 2 weeks ago yesterday, he said a law was passed in the EU, the European Union, that required all member nations, and there are 14 of them now, European nations, to change their human rights laws to conform to the EU human rights laws. And then on Wednesday of that week, they said part of the new human rights laws will require all European nations that are members to change their laws as it relates to homosexual couples. As of right now, as you sit in your chapel seat, all the nations of Europe that are members of the EU have to give the same rights to homosexual and lesbian couples that they give to heterosexually married couples. All the insurance benefits, all the domestic benefits, all the social benefits, etc., etc." Then, he said, they went on that same day as a part of that and said, "There will be no religious exemptions." They said the only exemption would be that if a religious body had convictions against homosexuality as being a sin, they could say, "We will only hire a heterosexual pastor." But if that pastor announces later that he is a homosexual, he cannot be fired for being a homosexual. Now, a church under the EU, living under the EU laws, they can refuse to hire a pastor if he's a thief or a liar or an adulterer, but they can't refuse. They can let him go for all of that, but they can't let him go if he is a homosexual. And they said The pastor is the only exemption to any of this. All other church staff members, be they youth ministers, music directors, janitors, bus drivers, whatever they may be in the church, if they're homosexuals, you can't discriminate against them by refusing to hire them on your church staff, and you'll pay penalties under the law if you do so. Now, folks, the furnace of testing is getting hot. And like the three Hebrew children of old, God's people are finding the heat to be intense today. It's not going to be long until the same laws become the laws of this country. There's already recently been passed in California a law that says public school teachers have to become thought police. That if there is a hate crime, that what they consider to be a hate crime against homosexuals in the public schools, any word used that the teacher thinks is an unattractive word for a homosexual, or anything said by any student against homosexual behavior has to be reported to the police as a hate crime. And the teachers are responsible for being the police to police it and report it. That's already on the books in California, in our country. Going downhill in a hurry, folks. God protects His people by His care. Doesn't mean He won't let us go through the fiery furnace. Doesn't mean He might let us be burned to death in the fiery furnace. But He's with us in the fiery furnace. And if that's where He wants us to be for His name's sake, if He's with us, it's okay to be in the fiery furnace. Look at what else it says here about the people who are the authentic, identifiable people of God. We're chosen by God's plan to be His witnesses. Verse 10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen." Verse 12, the end of the verse, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Over in chapter 44, verse 8, He says something very similar. "Ye are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." God's plan for authentic, identifiable people of God is that we are to be witnesses. He's chosen us to witness to who He is. But there's a sad note in all of this. His people that He has chosen, that He has protected, that He has given the privilege of being witnesses to Him, were unfaithful by their indifference toward God. Look at verses 22 and following. "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." Unfaithful because of their sin and their indifference toward the worship of God as He intended that it should be. I want to ask you in conclusion, young people, why do you strive against the living God? By having determined that there is no way you're going to be God's authentic, identifiable representative. It goes with salvation. It's part and parcel. If you are saved, the purpose for which God saved you, in addition to taking you to be with Himself when you leave this world, is that in this world, you should be identified as an authentic, redeemed child of God, so that this world might know who His people are and who He is through them. Why do you strive with the Creator? Isaiah 45, verse 12 says, "I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens. And all their host have I commanded." God said, "I made you. Why are you striving against me?" He said, "I'm the sovereign. Why are you striving against me?" Isaiah 45, 5, "I am the Lord. I'm the sovereign. I'm the ruler. I'm the Lord. And there's none else. There's no God beside me." Verse 19b of that chapter, I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Why do you strive against the Lord, the sovereign, the ruler? Why do you strive with the Savior? Isaiah 45:22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Why are you striving against the purpose that God had in store for you when He saved you? If you say, I am saved, but I have no desire to live my life as God's representative on earth to magnify His name, to show forth His glory, to witness to Him as Lord, as Sovereign, as Savior, I have no interest in that whatsoever. You probably are not one of His. And if you are one of His, you are in extreme rebellion to Him. And He will not allow one that He has redeemed to live in that kind of rebellion without dire consequences. He loves you too much to let you get by with that. He loves you too much to let you miss the purpose for which you are in this world as a redeemed child of God. Let's stand together and pray. Dear Lord, it is with an immense sense of unworthiness and awe and wonder that we come to this passage of Scripture to realize that You are in need of people to represent You before the world. Lord, what a meaning and importance that puts upon our life. What reason for living today in this world. What importance. And Lord, the devil knows that too. And he's out to destroy the testimony of all who call You Lord and Savior. So that before men, their reputation of You will be tarnished. So that they cannot bear witness to who You are. And so that the world around them shall go to hell, not knowing there's a loving Savior, God in heaven, who wants to save and redeem. Lord, I pray that today that You would quicken, make alive, increase the testimony of every student here that loves You. Give us a fresh awareness, a moment-by-moment awareness of the reason You have saved us and left us in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.